And good morning and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ this March 16th, 2025. We welcome you folks out there and we thank you for being here this morning. Before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we just ask that you shine your face down upon us as we gather together to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, as we come before your throne to partake of communion today, we ask, Father, for you to smile your face down upon us. Let us be a blessing to you for keeping your laws and your ordinances. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all the many blessings that you give us each and every day, and we thank you that we are your people and that you are our God. And we pray, Father, that we can be pleasing in your sight. We pray as we gather together, those that gather with us here in person and those that gather with us through internet and those that gather with us through DVD church, that you just allow us to be that blessing to you that we need to be. We pray, Father, that you find us trying a little bit harder to be better Christians, to be better servants, to do a better job each and every day. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we are going to start off with a song. The song is Hosanna in the Highest. Haven't sung this one in a while.
Start off, there's been a
lot of devastation due to these tornadoes back east of us, and want to just read a little bit and want to say a prayer for these people. The one that I brought to the pulpit today with me was, tornadoes, severe weather kill at least 33 and continue to pose a threat. At least 33 people are dead after the tornadoes, high winds, and wildfires hit more than half a dozen states since Thursday. The threat level is less than desired. There is fatalities that occurred in Georgia, Mississippi, Arkansas, and Alabama from tornadoes that raced the highway speeds on Friday through Saturday night into early Sunday morning. States of emergency are in effect in Georgia, Mississippi, Arkansas, Alabama. And, so definitely want to be keeping those people in our prayers. We got a lot of our people and a lot of people on the ministry that are down in those areas. So would appreciate it if you continue to keep those people in your prayers. And also, we got a local family here in Fort Collins, a friend of mine. He was traveling south on Friday night and ended up in a car accident. And he had his wife and his daughter with him, and they both died at the scene that day. And just ask if you guys would, everybody would keep this family in your prayers as well. He was flight for life to a hospital and is in stable condition. They had to give him a lot of blood, and he's got a lot of broken bones. But so far they're saying no brain damage, but we still don't know a whole lot. The same day that his wife died, his wife's sister died of an altercation here in town also. And yesterday would have been his daughter's 18th birthday. So just a lot of strange things that happened, a lot of storms that are going on, but we're going to go ahead and pray for him. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you, Father, for you being our sovereign God. And we lift up this family to you. And I just pray, Father, that you grant them the peace that passes understanding, that you be with them through these trials and tribulations that they're going through. I pray, Father, that you lift them up to you. And I pray for this friend of mine, for him to be healed and to be restored to perfect health. And I pray, Father, that you be with the other children, Father, and the rest of the family. I just pray, Father, I don't even know how to pray for them, but I just lift them up to you. And I ask, Father, that the Holy Spirit intercedes and brings that perfect prayer before your throne. We just pray, Father, that their needs are met. Lord, we pray, Father, for those that are facing these storms, these tornadoes, these wildfires. We lift them up to you, and we just ask, Father, for your assistance, your guidance, your direction. We pray, Father, that you just be with those people that are without power, that have lost their houses, that are just in devastation right now, Father. We lift them up to you, and we ask that you protect them, that you put a hedge of protection around them, a shield of light, ring of fire, that no evil can penetrate. We pray that you sustain them and that you grant them food and water. We pray, Father, that you just be with those that have lost loved ones, Father. You know each and every one of them, and you know what they're going through. And Lord, we just come before you, and we know that we serve the God of gods and the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and we're grateful for that. And we know that there's nothing too great nor too small for you to do. And we just ask, Father, that you do a mighty work, Father. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. And we're going to have a message by, let's look at the clock. We're going to have a message by Brother Zach, and we're going to be back here just shortly for communion after that.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, March 16th, 2025, we here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there this morning. We're glad that you joined us. And we're going to begin by defining who and what Jesus Christ is. And that's found in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, in the darkness, did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is the definition of who and what Jesus Christ is. He is the Word that became flesh. And we here at Scriptures for America like to study the Word. We like to know our Word. And we pride ourselves in probably knowing the Word better than most quote-unquote Christians out there. And even better yet, we know the Word better than most dirty bird preachers out there. And we can tell the difference between the ones that know and the ones that don't know. We know the ones that know the history, the prophets and the law, that actually know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because as we just read right there, that is his identity, the history, the law, and the prophet. And if you don't know them and make sense of them and apply them today in our lives, then you do not know who Jesus Christ is. And we are not to be guilty of that, of not knowing that. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to talk about choices today. And we as Christian believers all have our own choices. We can choose whether to follow Jesus Christ and his teachings and apply them in our lives and in our families' lives and in our conduct and our business and how we vote, and further to advance the Word of God. Or we can just be lukewarm and just kind of go with the flow and let the cards fall where they may. Chips fall where they may, so to speak. So we have choices. And the thing of it is, when you know your history with Israel, and she continued to choose over and over and over again the other gods, finally God said, you've chosen enough wrongly. Here is your writ of divorce. And we here at that are baptized believers, we are Christians. We are the bride of Christ. We are his body. And those same rules apply. We have choices. And we could get cut off too if we continue to make the bad choices. We do not want to do that. So in the Old Testament, the way Israel was described through the writ of divorce, and God was a husband to her, the house of Israel was feminine. They were the wife. And if you're going to be a wife, then, and you are going to be feminine, you're just going to do what the old man says. Whether you understand it or not, there's some things about the Word of God I don't understand, but who am I to buck what he said? Now, in today's society, there are a lot of feminine men, and I wouldn't want to follow them across a mud puddle. And I wouldn't, you know. And there's some of you out there saying, well, you know, there's some women out there that they're good money makers. They know how, they got good jobs, they make good money, and they make good decisions. You're right. I know. I've seen some of them in actions. There's this one particular broad I'm thinking of. I remember when I was doing my clinicals to get my EMT basic license. I mean, that chick had such great instinct. I remember she was like reading the signs on this one patient. She caught a pulmonary embolism based on the signs and the way this person was presenting. And the medic didn't catch it. And I just went along with the medic because he was the medic. And then the next day, as I was studying, I was going through my cardiology stuff. And they were going through the signs of a pulmonary embolism that comes up from your lower extremities because of a blood clot. That chick nailed it. She had great instinct. You know, I'm not saying women don't have an ability and they can't make decisions, but you sit there, you understand the chain of command, like I did a long time ago about commander's intent and decentralized command. He was working in that perfectly. She was working in her box perfectly. And we as the church, and I mean, I don't know what call I wouldn't go on with her. But I'm just saying, like, you know, like, I'm not trying to, everybody wants to be the boss and in charge and want to know everything. And we just simply can't. And when people excel and they have gifts in certain areas, you should recognize it, whether they're male or female. But everybody's got their place. Everybody wants to be the boss and the know-it-all until it comes time to be the boss and know-it-all. And it's a very difficult thing to be. Because most people don't, they've never experienced it, and it's kind of, it kind of stinks, to be honest with you. Because everyone's looking to you, and then you find out when most people can't make their own decision. But we as a church are in, we are the feminine. And God is the masculine. And we obey. That we have the choice whether to obey or to not. How do we do that? Well, let's read. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 14. We start in verse 9. Jesus said to him, I have been so long with you, yet you have not come to know me, Philip. He's talking to the disciple Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? So, Philip, he's an idiot. Not getting it. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but from the Father abiding in me does his works. So Jesus is saying he's in perfect communication with God the Father, and they're one and two in the same, and they understand the commander's intent, and they're operating in that. So in a sense, you could say Jesus is a liaison to the world, even though he is God. But like just the way it's described here, like, but you got to, like, pay attention to what Jesus is saying because he speaks for the Father. I was watching this one YouTube video the other day, and this guy, he was interviewing, and he was an undercover FBI agent. It wasn't Joe Pistone. It was a different guy. He was more recent. And he worked his way into the Italian mob so well that he was literally speaking for captains in the mob. Like, if this guy talks, he's speaking for me. This, it's the same thing. Because he knew what the captain wanted. And he knew how to present himself. Like, talk about a tough job and two different loyalties. But he was speaking for his boss. This is the same thing. And we are to be like that too. These things that I've spoken to you while abiding with you. Wait a minute. Excuse me. Wrong one. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I will go to the Father. We got to know what kind of work God wants. I mean, you read the law, he wants to bless a nation. He wants to bless a multitude of nations. And he wants his political system across this earth. Now, the Judeo-Christian churches, and don't get me wrong, there's places that, you know, they think if a guy gets healed from cancer or whatever, and I'm not saying it's wrong. And that's not what God wants. But it puts the focus of everybody that is God's only game. When he runs nations, when he directs nations and politicians to rule over people, they're over there focused on you know, a finger getting straightened out and stuff. And I'm not downplaying it. Don't get me wrong, but the mentality is that of mental, being a mental midget. You're completely cutting out what God really thinks. So if you, like, I literally think that we can change the nation. If I didn't think that, I wouldn't be doing it. And I hope that my work and my labor is going to, if it doesn't happen in my time, is the seed and the catalyst to teach somebody else that God chooses to do it, if it's not me. Just like it didn't end up being Pastor Peters or Jack Moore or Earl Jones. Those were the ones, like, in our time that longed to see but weren't able to see. The things, you know, like when Jesus was talking about the prophets that wanted to see him. What are we looking for? An establishment of God's kingdom on this earth. I'm going on a rant here, and I'm not even. Verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works in me, that I do, he will also do the greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you keep my commandments. Verse 16, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be with you. So all that stuff about building nations and stuff like that, the world can't see that because they don't have the Spirit, they don't know the Word, they don't know the true Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's not even on their radar to even pull something like that up. And if you love him, you will obey his commandments, which is not the sin, which is his political system. That is how you are in harmony to where your prayers are effective. Because as it says in Proverbs, someone that does not give ear to the law, even his prayers are an abomination. So these cancer healers and finger straighteners, they say the law is done away with. Their prayers are an abomination. So what is going on? I say it's a delusional spirit being put down on them. But the key, the choice we have is to obey his command. That is our choice. If you want to love him, obey his command. Turn with me to James chapter 4. Start out in verse 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. How do you cleanse your hand and purify your hearts? Read the law, understand what sin is, and remove it from your life. Actually repent. Operate in God's system. Because the works that you do in the other system, hands are dirty. You're doing it with an unclean heart. Now, it might not be with bad intent, but it is what it is. I didn't make the rules. I don't understand that. It's not with bad intent. Why is it a sin if you didn't know? And you know, that's God's problem. That's not my problem. That's just what it says, and I'm not going to buck the system. It's true, because I know if you sin, nations go down. People's families go down. Everything falls apart. So when you are cleansing your hands and purifying your heart, you're removing your double-mindedness because you're holding up the law of God. You are drawing near to the Word that became flesh, which is the true Jesus Christ of the Bible. What are you doing when you do that? You are resisting the devil, and he is going to flee from you. Now, I don't really think Babylon actually has a lot of power. The reason why it has power is because we give it power. We don't cleanse our hands. We don't purify our hearts. Our minds are double-minded. Therefore, it gives real estate for Satan, the devil, to be in our camp. If those actions, if ungodly actions, ungodly intent, and pure hearts are what's going on, you're not giving Satan any real estate to be on. Because when we sin, it is forcing God's hand to affect us in a ungodly manner. It's cursing us. We don't have a choice in the matter. They give Satan all of his real estate. It's a transfer of power. It's a transfer of ownership. We are giving it to him. Now, people like us, if we give it to him knowingly, that's a bad deal. People that, like I've said before, and Pastor Peters has said many times before, you have bad teaching. How do they know? The Bible says in Hosea, my people die for a lack of knowledge. So how do you resist the devil? By knowing the word. By conducting yourself a certain way. By doing things for the glory of God, because it is his system, and it is what we're doing is we're using his system for our blessing. We are understanding what God says is a blessing. That's what we're doing. How can Satan operate in that? How can Satan operate in somebody's life when he's got all of his ducats in a row? Now, I'm not saying he's not going to be tempted. You know, I mean, don't think I'm not saying everything's going to be easy, because there's other people around that benefit from the system that's going on right now, or that's in place right now. And when you know that system, it's hard to let go. You're going to get resistant. You're going to get laughed at. You're going to be disliked. You might be thinking, well, geez, a few weeks ago you told us to play all the systems. Yeah. Yeah. You're trying to kill the one, but you still got to survive. I mean, we still live in America. We're free. We've allowed this system, this taxation system, Social Security system. But I mean, we fund it all the time. Planned Parenthood system in. We've allowed the ACLU in here. We've allowed the Roman Catholic Church in here. You want to hurt everybody's feelings? I mean, most of you out there know what this country was founded on. Biblical principles and law. Biblical statutes and judgments. So how do you resist the devil? Uphold God's law. Strive to live in harmony with the law of God and get it in the minds of your neighbors and of your fellow countrymen. Then you are eliminating real estate that Satan can operate in. The other people around you, they're operating in Satan's system. They're going to push back on you. And, you know, they're not going to like their threat, their investment being threatened. You go talk to a church preacher. You tell them, you start showing them truths about the Bible. What do they say? I can't preach that because I'll lose my income. That's not what the people want to hear. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. Now, this is right before the death of Joshua. This is the end of his reign. He's given Israel a pep talk on how to proceed, because, you know, Moses, he recognized that they weren't going to be able to stay true to the statutes and judgments of the Lord. Just like Moses did, he understood that. Joshua understood it too. They have somebody over there cracking a whip over them to keep them in line. Because the femininity always thinks that they know better. Joshua chapter 24, verse 1. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before the Lord. Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau I gave Mount Seir to possess it, but to Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. So if you know what he's talking about here, the sons of Israel is the one that had the blessing that went to Jacob. Those were the ones to go to Egypt. Now Esau went to Seir because, if you know the book of Jasher, he got into a hand-to-hand fist fight with Nimrod, stole, killed him, and when kings kill kings, they get all the goods. Nimrod was the founder of Babylon, while Esau was next in line for God's system, and Esau loves to blend the Babylonian system and God's system, which is what we have today. But Jacob is the one that went to Egypt. I'll just stop right there, because if I go into history, that's not where I'm going. Verse 5. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt by what I did in its midst. And afterward, I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. But when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them, and your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then I brought you into the land of the Amorites who lived beyond the Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land when I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, son of Zipporah, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel. He sent and summoned Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I was not willing to listen to Balaam, so he had to bless you, and I delivered you from his hand. Do you see that? God wasn't willing to listen to him. Why would God even listen to him? Because of Israel's unbelief. Go back and read the story. Read the cycle that Israel's in. Balaam couldn't curse God's select in a certain way. Maybe that was because they hadn't taken the oath yet. I don't know. I'd have to go back and read that. You crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Gershite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Thus I gave them into your hand. Then I sent the hornet before you, and it drove out the two kings of the Amorites from before you, but not by your sword or bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you have lived in them. You are eating of the vineyards of the and olive groves which you did not plant. Verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers serve beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Israelites have a bad habit of being tempted by other gods. In fact, they can simply pretend like they're not even Israelites. They can pretend like somebody else is Israel. They can pretend, they can just forget their God and go serve other ones, and go put themselves under other government. under some other authority. This is the habit that they have. God's saying, put them away. If he didn't say put them away, then you know, that tells you that they were around. They kept poking their little heads up. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which are beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So there's three sets of gods here that are hanging around. The one from the days of old, when they're in Egypt, the Canaanite gods, or the God that hauled them out of Egypt, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Choose. He's saying, choose who you will serve. The people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us through all the way which we went among the people, all the peoples through whose midst we passed. The Lord drove them out before us, all the people, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. So they're saying, hey, why would we have anybody else? Why would we serve anybody else? Why would we obey anybody else? Why would we choose anybody else when he's been so good to us? He gave us a country. He gave us an identity. We're not going to go serve somebody else. You kidding me? That'd be dumb. Verse 19. Then Joshua said to the people, you will not be able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God and a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression or your sin. Why would he say that? Because they went back on their word and they went back on their choice. Deuteronomy is already, the book of Deuteronomy is already in their hands, in the Levite's hands. They know the consequences of sin on a national level. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done good to you. What is that? That is giving Satan, the Babylonian system, the Canaanite system, the Egyptian system, all run by Satan, real estate, transfer of ownership, selling ourselves into slavery for nothing. The older I get, the more I think this is a mindset. If you do this, then this will be the result. If you do that, then that'll be the result. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So I was telling this guy the other day, you know, I know a lot of business owners. And, you know, back to what I was saying, you know, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And if you operate in God's system, things should be okay. And not. Not to say that you're not going to have challenges. Not to say you're not going to have temptations. But I know several people that are successful business people. And you'd even take Pastor Peters. You know, he had a lot of not so good things happen to him. And like these business owners, I've seen things go south for them. Can sit there and say, no, well, all those guys are still around. They're still in business. They took some huge hits, but they're still around. And why is that? It is because they believed in their mission. They believed in their company. They believed in their you know, like Pastor Peters, believed in the ministry so much. They just, it didn't matter what happened. He was going to go forward, and he went to the end, and he preached to the end. These business owners that I know, it didn't matter. They're still around. They were successful. You know, in the Bible, it talks about some of the Canaanites were left behind to test Israel. Test your loyalties. Test what you really believe. The same thing. Most people fold after a few years. Most people don't pass the test. But there are those that, like, it doesn't matter what happens, what's thrown at them, they're going forward. And honestly, I don't know anyone, like, God gives us Israelites that ability. He gives everybody the ability. You set your mind to it, and you can see something before it exists. You're going to achieve it. It's going to happen. If people can do that on a small scale with, like, a business or a ministry, why can't we do that on a national level? Why can't we all work together to get that on a national level? There's a lot of great things happening in this country right now. And I do think it's because of people's heart being softened and starting to, like, actually, like, look around and be like, wait, this is not God. These things are not godly. There are things going on with the last administration, the last Surgeon General, and, like, what a joke. People rejected it. Therefore, God's hand has to move in a certain way. Look at the blessings that's coming. I mean, I'm hearing things like trying to get rid of income tax, IRS, like, all kinds of stuff. Like, I don't know, I'll just sit back and watch. I'm just going to keep preaching and keep working. But the point is, choose. Every day, I guess, what's the point of this? The point is this. Do not ever think that you can't make a difference. You can make a difference. Everything that you do is either going to be a positive effect or a negative effect. And the negative effects are way stronger than the positive ones. Why do you say that? Because look at the stories of Israel when sin was in the camp, the entire group fell because of the actions of one dude or two people with the hiding or selling the land there in the book of Acts. You know that story I'm talking about. And screw everything up for everybody. Pay attention to what you do. Choose to love the Lord by obeying his commandments. If we do that, we can identify and reestablish God's system. And everybody will know who it is. Because in my opinion, that is the kingdom coming. That is his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And with that, I'm out of time. For those of you that are his, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Thank you, Zach. Appreciate that. And as we come to the part of this today where we partake of communion, let us go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this, and we thank you for the price that was paid to give us freedom of our sins. We thank you, Father, for the body, the blood, and the blood that was shed for us. We come remembering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we come to this portion of the ministry, saints gathering together around the Lord's table, you know I've already prayed over this loaf and the loaves that they have out there. Oh, Heavenly Father, I've prayed, as you know, and I want them to know, that by your grace and mercy, that you would overlook those that have not properly purified their hearts for purification purposes to partake, but that you, through your grace, would grant anyway your great abundant mercy and love and loving kindness that is there extended to us through this meal that we partake. Oh, Heavenly Father, help all the saints to come out of this sleeping, slumbering sorcery spell and recognize that the body that they eat is not only the Lamb of God, but the Lion of Judah. And Heavenly Father, that there's healing. And Lord, I know there's healing that's needed out there. Broken hearts hurting real bad. But not only that, Lord, there's kidneys that aren't working right, and hearts that aren't beating properly, thyroids that are low and slow, or whatever it might be. Lord, whatever it be, I pray now for that birthright benefit that is ours through the cross. That you sent not only your Son to take our sins, and that was good plenty right then and there, but by your mercy, he takes also our infirmities. And so as we eat of the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, let all the benefits, and there's many of them, Lord, as we've preached about it from this pulpit, all the benefits of communion, let it come into our lives. And Lord, same way with the cup that I prayed over today. And Lord, create within us a clean heart, a steadfast spirit. Let us no longer be mugwumps with our mug on one side of the fence and a womp on the other. But Lord, let us be hot Christians for you. Warriors that you would be proud of, that march in the name Jesus Christ and come conquering for the King of Kings and taking this world back for him. Oh, Heavenly Father, you said to do the remembrance, and we do. We remember that you so loved us that you did not even spare your only begotten Son. Now bless us as we do partake. And direct and guide my minds in the words that I'm going to say before we do partake, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we partake of communion, I have mine here. We'll pass them out here. You people out there, and I know there's many of you, you have your cup ready and your loaf ready. You know, if you've been coming to the church here lately, I've been preaching on deception. And I want you to know that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, speaking of the man of sin, who is a deceiver, operating undercover, and he will be revealed. Praise God, you Amalekite bastards, you are going to be revealed. But Heavenly Father has told us that the day of the Lord would not come except first the apostasy comes first. And I thought this week, now I took my sweet bride and we had kind of a getaway this week. We got up by a mountain stream. It was our wedding anniversary. And the place we were staying at had a TV. And I did flick it on and look through it a little bit. And I don't know when this jungle gyrating Gigolo Jackson died, but it had to be some time back, wasn't it? But they were still showing that on TV. And people crying big crocodile tears. And I thought, you talk about apostasy, not just in the nation, but worldwide. I want you to know something. You can sing about love all you want, and I love to hear love songs. Don't get me wrong. But my God is a God that's, and you better get your head put on straight, because you don't have the love of God if you don't have the holy hate in your life today. And I want to tell you today that it's just the same as it was yesterday. Our God hates idolatry. Amen. It destroys the soul for eternity. It destroys a nation. And that moon-walking, gyrating, pedophile bastard. Thank God you're gone. Thank God and Greyhound you're gone. Burn in hell and all the rest of you burn in hell with him. Because that's what hell's prepared for, idolaters. Well, that's why nobody ever comes to hear you, Pastor Peters. Oh, they're out there. And they're still listening. And the enemy knows we're coming. I want to tell you, talk apostasy. Now that old king, the king, he's no longer in the house. A rock and roll, taught our women to be a bunch of bitches. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. He came on first. And now they say this old boy, gyrating gigolo jungle bunny Jackson, was the king of pop. Well, pop, crackle, and snap. And if you want to burn in hell with him, you will. But I'm going to tell you, God hates idolatry. And if that isn't idolatry, I don't know what is. Well, what does that have to do with communion, Pastor Peters? I'll tell you what it has to do. I think it's a sad thing in the world today. When the world cries crocodile tears for some filthy stink of vile. Let me tell you a story. I don't know if it's true. But old Farrah Fawcett, I was told, showed up at the pearly gates, and every one of you will. Peter asked if she, St. Peter did, if had she had a wish. And she says, I wish for all the little children that I left behind to be saved. And old St. Peter said, well, that's a pretty big wish. I tell you what do you say we just take out Michael Jackson? Now, do you hear that kind of preaching from the pulpits today? You see, that's why I give a disclaimer for Brother David. No, you ain't. Because you heap to yourselves teachers after your own desires. You want to hear about sweet things. Well, I'm going to tell you something Jesus said. Depart from me, ye that practice lawlessness. I didn't hear, at least I heard the old king of rock and roll sing a few good gospel songs. I never heard the king of pop sing them. Of course, I never listened to the clown. Freak that he was. My goodness. Let me say, I'll tell you something. There are still some men that have not lost their saltiness. Your granddads would have said that exactly what I'm telling you right now. To see that gyrating piece of pedophile scum held up as an idol for everybody to cry about. I want to tell you something. It is apostasy when we live in a world that would cry crocodile tears for old Jesse. And they don't even give a thought to us. You still love me? Some of you say, I never did love you. I tell you what, those that love the truth love to hear people tell the truth. And I'm telling you the truth. You either get hot or you get cold for the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I love my children. But when I see somebody, they'll know what hate's about. And they were been coming after our children, leading them off into the spirit of idolatry. And that's just one down. And I just felt that I ought to say something about that before we take the communion. Because I don't mind crying a tear or two. I think about the fact all he did to die for my sins. He paid the price. And I remember it, and I have been remembering it by the grace of God ever since I was born again of the water and the Spirit, baptized for the remission of sins. They told me that Jesus said to do. And that is, do this in remembrance of me. And I found out it's true. Every first day of the week, the saints gathered together in the first century, and they remembered. They did not forget. And they ate of the flesh, and they drank of the blood. And that's what we do. I guess I'll need a cup brought up. Thank you very much. Our Father in heaven, I've already prayed over this loaf, and now we remember. We judge the body rightly, his body, taking our sins and our infirmities. And we eat of it with our mind's eye at that cross. And we thank you for the price you paid to redeem us. You may partake. Father, precious in your sight was the blood and in ours. And it's a precious time for us now as we drink of it in remembrance. You may drink.
And, yeah, and I do apologize. I had Richard File. I realized that I played that one a couple weeks ago and gave him the wrong name on that file to play this morning. But I guess maybe some of us needed to hear it again. I do appreciate you being here this morning. Wanted to talk a little bit just to close out. The message that we had or going to have in the next hour is Billy Hoskins. Its title is The Way It Is. And there's just a lot of things. As I listened to that message, I listened to it, was working on it last night and finished up some stuff going over it this morning. It just, I really believe that the Holy Spirit is working. It tied together with Zach's message. It ties it. We talked about on coffee yesterday. And so much of this stuff, it's just, you know, if we really tried and put, you know, hundreds of hours into trying to make everything be coordinated as possible, we wouldn't be able to do it. And is what I'm excited about is the Holy Spirit at work in so many different things that are happening in our land, in our government, with the messages that we're putting out. And just, you know, to me, it's just confirmation that, you know, our God is in control. He's doing a mighty and an awesome work through his people. And I'm just excited about it. And want to thank you, Remnant, for being here and for your support and for you making our efforts here possible. And with that, we'll just close out with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all these blessings, and we just ask, Father, that you continue to be with the Remnant throughout this upcoming week. We thank you, Father, for all the blessings that you give us. We pray, Father, for those that are battling the storms and the fires and the fiery tribulations, Lord. We lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this land, and we just ask, Father, that you continue to turn your hearts, the hearts and minds of you, in Jesus Christ's name. We pray, amen. We'll have this song, and then we're going to have a message by Mr. Hoskins.